As always, it's a wonderful privilege to be able to teach God's word to you, to your open hearts of believing and love. Thank you very much. But before I get started, I know you've got something to say to me, and I'd just kind of like to get it off your chest, okay? I am what the word of God says I am. I have what the word of God says I have. I will be what the word of God says I will be. I can do what the Word of God says I can do, and I have God's favor in my life. Y en español, yo soy lo que la palabra de Dios dice que soy. Yo tengo lo que la palabra de Dios dice que tengo. Yo seré lo que la palabra de Dios dice que seré. Yo quiero ser lo que la palabra de Dios dice que puedo hacer, y yo tengo el favor de Dios en mi vida. All right. We do believe in positive affirmations. Anytime you can speak words of power, you should, because you will always receive the results. God gave us that privilege. He spoke things into being, and he gave us the power to do so as well. I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. My job as a minister, relating God's word to some 40 people, is varied. In other words, there's many needs among the amount of people that I'm talking to right now. So I've got to hit several things, and you'll see me bouncing from one to the other. And I'd like to start in Ecclesiastes, and then we'll head over to 1 Corinthians 13. And I want to relate some things to married couples, and I also want to target the single mindset. And I want you to all reap the benefits of all of it. So starting in Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 1. For all this I considered in my heart, even to declare all this, that the righteous and the wise and their works are in the hand of God. Have you ever wondered, did God leave me today? Am I on my own? I'd like to say that you are always in the hand of God. I don't care what you've done in your past, and I don't care what you do in your future. You're always in the hand of God. Man likes to change God's word. But you know, if God's word says that we are the light of the world, that we are righteous, that we are forgiven, that we are glorified and justified and sanctified and redeemed, and that he loves us, and that the seed of Christ in us is incorruptible. And as you can see, I'm building a list, and we can certainly add to that list. But if these and more be true, why would man want to change that into things like, well, maybe today I'm dark. Today I'm not forgiven. Today I'm not righteous. Today I'm not justified, just as if I hadn't sinned, or glorified. Today I'm miserable. Why would man want to change God's word? I'm going to ask you to not change God's word. Today, tomorrow, or for the rest of your life, you are always in the hand of God. And in verse 7, we read, go thy way, eat thy bread with joy, and drink thy wine with a merry heart, for God now accepteth thy works. Let thy garments be always white, and let thy head lack no ointment. Live joyfully with the wife whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun, all the days of thy vanity, For that is thy portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. For there is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Earlier it says, you can read it on your own, that everybody will die. Now that's Old Testament, don't forget. Because in the New Testament, we could very well be alive when Jesus Christ comes back. Verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding, nor yet favor to men of skill, but time and chance happeneth to them all. For man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net, and as the birds that are caught in the snare, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. The sons of man is referring to people that do not trust in God, not you. And so we see that man is man. Every man, whether a believer or an unbeliever, faces this same type of music, so to speak. We all have our choices to make, and we all have our lives to live. And God's desire is that we live them to the fullest. But He likes to give us encouragement. Because, well, as man is, man likes to make things up in his head and redirect his steps, generally, away from God. But God wants us to walk with Him. Because we are always in the hand of God. Whether we walk away or whether we walk with, it doesn't matter. Now, I know man wants to change the word, but I want to reiterate, let's not change the word. Let's accept it for what it says. It says you're always in the hand of God. He tells you how to live. It's your choice. What a privilege. In verse 9, we read, live joyfully with the wife with whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he hath given thee under the sun. All the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion in this life and in thy labor which thou takest under the sun. Well, to those of you who are married, this applies. Live joyfully. And I know sometimes you go, oh, man, really? How? Some days it's like that. And some days it's not. Not with Lynn and me, but you understand what I'm saying, right? It's our responsibility to figure things out. And there's a guy that sings a song. And I'd like to play a song for you. Roger Miller. You ever heard of King of the Road? Well, he's the guy that wrote that song, but he's also done quite a few other. And I have a song that I'd like you to hear. And it relates to his perception on why marriages don't work, the ones that don't. And now you who are married, perhaps you'd want to take this to heart. This does line up with God's word. And it's about pride. Go ahead, make sure it's up so I can hear it.
Two broken hearts, lonely looking like houses where nobody lives.
Two people each having so much pride inside, neither side forgives.
The angry words spoken in his situation too. husbands and wives, a woman and a man,
a man and a woman.
Some can, and some can't, and some can. So much pride inside, neither side forgives. The angry words spoken in haste, such a waste of two lives. It's my belief pride is the chief cause in the decline in the number of husbands and wives.
Now, isn't that a beautiful song? And if you think about it, it lines up so closely with God's word. Roger's no longer alive, but I guarantee you he was a Christian, for him to come up with something like that. So many of his songs are so godly inspired, it's just amazing. And it gives us a moment to pause and reflect on our own behavior, our own lives. And sometimes that's a really good thing. So as it says in verse 9, live joyfully with the wife, and I would say also with the husband, whom thou lovest all the days of thy life. This is your life. You don't get another life. If you're not living your life to the fullest today, who's to say you're going to live your life to the fullest tomorrow? Because today you chose not to. So what are you going to choose tomorrow? I beseech you to live your life to the fullest. Don't let anything come in the way of God prospering you, God promoting you, God taking you where your dreams tell you you should be. It's your life. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. One of my most favorite sections of the Bible. I love the subject of charity or agape perhaps more than any other section, well, maybe except abundant sharing. And I love it because it is the greatest, bar none, way of life you could ever, ever lay hold of. There is no greater way to live. Also, save the gift of Holy Spirit, which you don't really give anyway, there's no greater gift to give to another. There is none. Agape or charity, agape is the Greek word, is the greatest behavioral way of life that God gave to man. And yet again, man likes to change the word and in this case say, well, I don't really want to live that. Well, I'd like to say that we need to decide against that change and stand for what it says in 1 Corinthians 13. In the very last verse, verse 13, we read, and now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greater, the text says, of these is charity, agape. I've taught you before that agape is not really love, but it's difficult for me to ask Christendom to change their mindset on that. If you want to call agape love, have at it. But really, what is agape? Agape is behavior. It's required Christian behavior. That's what it is. Because when you read in verse 1, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm just a noisemaker. Or in verse 2, and though I have prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. Truly, agape is behavior. It's not talking about whether God gives this to you and doesn't give it to you, which is what is commonly taught. It's talking about your choice to live your life according to agape. And then it says in verse 3, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, in other words, I give all my wealth away, and though I give my body to be burned, in other words, I just burn myself out down at the Salvation Army and wherever else I work for volunteer things, and have not agape, it profiteth me nothing. It's all about behavior. And then it lists those characteristics. Charity suffereth long, that means is patient, and is kind, that means it's useful to the move of the word. It envieth not, it vaunteth not itself up, which basically pushes you away from God, is not puffed up, acts not unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. These are characteristics. These are behaviors. The greatest thing you could ever do is to live with agape. Sure, live joyfully with your wife. Eat, drink, and be merry. Go work at whatever your hand findeth to do. Sure, those are wonderful. Rest in the hand of God. That's wonderful. But as a Christian, you are asked, if not told, to live according to agape with these behaviors. Is it easy? Sometimes. Is it difficult? Sometimes. Is it required? All the time. It's your choice. When you're in your job, when you're on your road of life, you have a choice to make. Shall I be patient? Shall I be angry? Shall I envy? Shall I not envy? Shall I be useful? Shall I be useless? And you can do that with every one of these characteristics. But God says, learn them and do them. Why? Because the greater, and then he compares it against faith and hope, is charity. Oh, you can hope all you want, but that hope is not as great as charity. Oh, you can believe all you want, but your beliefs are not as great as a lifestyle of agape. It's your choice. God gave them to us. And so I find verse 7 remarkable. Because when we're deciding, what should I focus on? Believing? Hope? Agape. The answer becomes obvious. It's agape. Because Agape beareth all things. Because agape believeth all things. Because agape hopeth all things. And because agape endureth all things. Why, if you decide to live your life according to agape, these things will follow. Not only follow, they will precede you. Not only precede you, they will be on your right hand and on your left. You will be completely encapsulated with the benefits of agape. You can't go wrong. In your marriages, God says live according to agape. In your friendships, God says live according to agape. Everywhere you go, God says live according to agape. When the devil is saying, I want you to be evil today, agape says, there is no evil in you. Don't behave that way. And you can list those characteristics and apply them the same way. Because what other power would it be that is trying to stop you from doing God's word? Probably the same one that tricked Eve. Go ahead and eat. Do it. Just do it. And she said, okay. Your life is, not to minimize it, but it's a speck of existence in the midst of millions that have come before you and millions that will follow you. You have the privilege of life today. But your life is the same life that Adam had, or that Noah had, or that Moses had, or that anybody in the past has had. And your life is the same that those who follow you will have on this earth, under this sun. So yes, you are special, but so were they. And yes, you can do great things, but so did they. God doesn't want us to become so internally focused, thinking only about ourselves, that we forget His word, that we forget His guidelines, His request, His teachings. I find it interesting that His teachings exist at all. Why? Because God made man just a hair lower in greatness than Him. The angels are even jealous of that one, it says in Hebrews. So I find it interesting that we have His word at all. Why is that? Because of our own inherent wherewithal. We can do all kinds of things at will. We can make, we can break, we can take, we can do anything we want. You can come up with your own way of life. That's what religion is. You can write it all down and have people follow it. So I find it remarkable that we have God's word, because man is so inherently powerful. Just with the tongue, the Bible says, He can give life or take it. That is power. I find it remarkable that we have His word. But you know what I find more remarkable? That people deny it. People say, well, I don't want to do it for this reason. Or I don't want to do it for that reason. But I want to tell you something. His word gives us the greatest reason to live. And if we live our lives according to His word, our reasoning will always be perfect. That's a choice we make. So we take our lives, we read his writing and we follow it and we become exactly who he wants us to be. Now, wouldn't that be a worthy goal? Whether you're 80 or whether you're 16. It just doesn't matter. It's a choice. It's a choice for us to walk according to God's word, to behave his way. Is it difficult? Sometimes. Is it easy? Sometimes. But is it available? All the time. And that's what we have to decide. It's not easy for me to live such a, righteous lifestyle in a glass house all the time. And I don't. But I try. What about you? People look at you. You live in a glass house too in your own right. It's all about decision. It's all about decision. And I think if we put some things together, like understanding God says, I want you to live joyfully in your marriages, with your friends, and so forth. And yet that pride comes in and causes your mind to become hardened against the softness of his velvet love. You can put that together and realize, well, I need to make a choice today. I need to make it this minute so that the direction of my life goes forever upward as we press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Oh, life is wonderful and life is a privilege. But let us not taint the awesomeness of the power laid before us as human beings with our own ego, our own pride, our own vanity, and so forth. But let us lay hold on the prizes that God has laid before us. No matter what the odds are, no matter what the situation seem like, that's what endureth is all about. You can get through anything, everything, anytime, every time, without fail, if you live according to agape. It's your choice. It's your choice to live joyfully, to eat, to drink, to be merry, to do good works, to love your fellow Christian, your fellow man, to look forward to the return of Jesus Christ. Get ready. And to eagerly anticipate his manifold blessings in your life. It's your right. But if you choose to stop exercising your right and go another way, to walk away from agape, to walk away from controlling your mind, your life, your heart, your situations, it can get very difficult. But I'd like you to walk in the sunshine, as Mom prayed. I'd like you to walk in the greatness of the Son, S-O-N, of God. And prove to the world that, yes, he does exist. He's in me, and he's coming your way. So you better either obey or get out of the way. You see, that's a good, healthy spiritual mindset. Don't let anything hold you down.
Walking in the sunshine, sing a little sunshine song. Put a smile upon your face as if there's nothing wrong. Think about a good time had a long time ago. Think about talking about your worries and your woes. Walking in the sunshine, sing a little sunshine song. La 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 dee-o. Whether the weather be rain or snow, snowy pasture, a green and grassy field, walking in the sunshine, sing a little sunshine song. Put a smile upon your face as if there's nothing wrong. Think about a good time had a long time ago. Think
about Mark, getting about your worries and your woes. Walking in the sunshine, sing a little sunshine song. A snowy pasture, a green and grassy field. Walking in the sunshine, sing a little sunshine song. Put a smile upon your face as if there's nothing wrong. Think about a good time had a long time ago. Think about talking about your worries and your woes. Walking sunshine, sing a little sunshine song. Walking in the sunshine, sing a sunshine song. Oh, a smile upon your face is the best. Nothing wrong.
Awesome, Jerry. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.